Take your Bibles this evening, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. I wonder if you've ever played that memory game where you put those matching cards down and you've got to turn them over, and when you find a match, you get to keep it. You play with your kids or grandkids maybe. And I remember when I was younger, I didn't mind playing that game. I might beat my children at that game. And now I find myself asking questions like, are there matches in here or not? Are there two of the same or not, right? Have you ever walked into a room and you cannot remember what you came into the room to do? Amen. Yes. Can't remember what I was saying. No. It happens. Sometimes you just forget something. I can tell you, embarrassingly so, when we take votes during a church administration meeting, I have a horrible fear, because it's come true a couple of times. People that have been faithful, I mean, just God-loving people, they will make a motion, and I suddenly will have no idea what their name is. It's horrible. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but just it escapes me, and I'm begging God. My prayer life is never better than on an administrative night, just hoping that I remember the person that made a motion or seconded or whatever it is. Sometimes it just seems it just leaves. I forget it. And you're going to think this is a joke, but when I was younger, I took something called ginkgo biola. It's supposed to help your memory. I literally did not remember to take it, so I just gave up on that. But there's a lot of things that we just seem to not hold on to. I used to be a little bit better with names, go into a room and meet people, and you can hold on to somebody's name and get to know them a little bit. But sometimes you might just forget somebody's name. You might forget a birthday. Don't forget certain birthdays, all right? That's very bad. But I'll just say there's things that we don't hold on to. But there's a difference between the kind of remembering that I'm talking about and the first word of the third verse that we're looking at tonight, the word remember. If we're not careful, we'll think that that word remember is just like what I'm talking about, just simply to put in place in your mind, like you'd forgotten about somebody. Oh, yeah, so-and-so's in jail. No, that's not what it's talking about. Somebody read to me the first phrase of that. Remember those what? Remember them that are in bonds. Talking about those that have been put in jail. Now, we understand that in that first century, many Christians were being thrown in jail just for believing in Christ. And it's hard for us as Americans to really understand that perspective. And really, I think some of the power and the impact of this imperative that's been given right here is lost on us just because we don't experience that type of persecution. Now, I'm thankful for that. I don't want that kind of persecution. But I think, as you'll see, God allows persecution for some very specific reasons, and I would not be surprised if God allows that even in America one day. But let's talk about that word remember for just a moment. It carries this idea of being mindful of something, not just calling to your brain as to recall something, but to be mindful about it. Let me try to illustrate what it is to be mindful. If you've ever broken a bone, let's say I broke a bone in my last day, supposed to be my last day in the Navy, I broke a bone in my foot. It's a very interesting story that I'll not bore you with right now, okay? But I was running towards the car, and I had already snapped my last salute, and I hit a pothole. It was raining out, and I heard this loud snap. And it was very painful. I didn't go to the doctor because I was convinced that they would not let me out, and I was right. But we went out, and in this crowd of people, somebody bumped into some other person, and that person stepped right on my broken foot. And I mean, my eyes came out, and the rest of the time that my foot was broken, I was mindful of it. You know what that means? It means I was very careful not to put it where other people were going to be standing. I wasn't going to put myself in a position where it could be hurt further. I was mindful of it. I wanted to protect it. I wanted to care for it. It wasn't just bringing it to my attention. It was showing compassion. Now, you think that's funny to say showing compassion on a body part. But that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is going to say later. We ought to because they're part of the body. And so this idea of being mindful, understand what prison was like back then. It wasn't three squares and a cot like it is today. If somebody wasn't going to care for you, you were going to get no care at all. And so to be mindful was to do something about it. It's not just saying, oh yes, I'm going to remember this person. Now, praying for them was a big deal, all right? So I don't want to say, I hope you never say, well, all we can do is just pray. Praying is being mindful. That is saying, I'm going to go to the throne room of grace on behalf of this person that is incarcerated. But I don't think that was all that they were called to do. They were called to show their compassion, to go and feed them and to bring them something warm to wear and to take care of those things that no one else in the world would take care of. Now, there's a great potential for, there's a great fear on those that would associate themselves with those that were in prison. Why is that? Yeah, this person's thrown in jail for being a Christian, and now you're going to bring a blanket, and you're bringing food every day, and you're not related to them. You're not their brother or cousin. Why would you do this? There is a fear of being associated with a Christian. Hey, isn't that what happened to Peter? In the courtyard, while Christ was being interrogated, they asked him, they said, well, you know, I don't know who you're talking about. That's what caused Peter to deny Christ, was the fear of association. I'm just saying our Christianity should be more than just remembering others that are hurting, just thinking about them. It ought to drive us to our knees. Now, even though there's not persecution in this country, there's persecution all across the world. The Lord said in Matthew 25, 36, he said, naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. And in verse 40, he goes on and says, and the king shall answer and say to them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You know, the Lord is saying, as we minister to those that are in bonds, those that are the least, we are ministering to him in that sense. I don't know if you see it that way or not, but as we have these people that come over from the hotel, now, I wish I could house each one of them. I wish I could feed each one of them a meal. We're not able to do that, although there are times where we are able to help. But as we help them, whether it's just sharing the gospel or if we are able to give them a meal and be able to talk to them, I want you to know the Lord sees that as us ministering to him. Why is that? It's because he loves them. It's because he created them. Now, they're not children of God until they're born of God. Do you understand? But they are still his creation. And God looks after those that are helpless. That is something that you see. We saw it all the way back in Exodus. We've seen it in Hebrews. That word remember, we don't give that word much consideration. We take it for granted. I think of people I've known that have gotten dementia. They don't remember. I know some of you have gone through that or are going through that, and it's hurtful. But it's not just a matter of recalling something. It is to think about them and then have compassion on them, to be mindful about it. It's not a passive word. It's not something that just crosses our mind. It implies action. So we are told then in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You know, we're supposed to not only remember those that are in bonds, but those that were suffering adversity. I have it in my notes somewhere, that word adversity is just two chapters ago, in chapter 11, verse 37, is translated tormented. So it's not just somebody that is having a hard time getting a job. You understand? They're going through some adversity. We use that word rather cavalierly in our day and age. We've overcome adversity. The idea here is that they're being tormented, and so, and this idea of being tortured, and they're going through something that no one would ever want to go through. And yet we're still to be mindful to them. Thankfully, we're not arrested for our religious beliefs. But as I said, other parts of the world, believers suffer for their faith. Simply for calling themselves a Christian. Do we pray for them? Do we go into the throne room of grace and ask God to help them to stand strong, to be a testimony? Paul would use really very similar language in Colossians chapter 4. It said in verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. And he says, grace with you, be with you, amen. You ever wonder why God allows people to be imprisoned for their faith? Well, I'll say, first of all, we lived in a sin-cursed earth. We live in an earth where man has sinful nature, and there is sin in the world, all right? And so that would explain some of the things and some of the reasons that bad things happen to good people. But I'll tell you this, that bonds advance the gospel. Bonds advance the gospel. I want you to think about what Paul said in chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 12 and 13. He said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He was saying, because I was put in bonds, I've been able to go where I would have never been able to go and share the gospel with those I never would have been able to share it with. I think of some people that I've known in a different context, but they've gotten sick. They've had to go to the hospital. They've had to get treatment. And in that, they want to glorify God even through their illness. And they witness to doctors and nurses and those that are there to clean the room or clean the bedpans. And all along the way, they're looking for ways to share the gospel. And I remember one of the first times, I can't remember who it was, but it was an elderly person many, many years ago. And they said, God has me here as a witness to these medical professionals. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I thought you were, in a sense, here because of cancer or whatever it was. But this person's mentality was, I'm here so that I can reach the people that I would have not been able to reach unless God put me here. That's the principle. And that's what Paul is saying here. And so if I could extrapolate that to each and every one of us, we may not be in bonds. We're not in prison, but God has placed you in a place where you're going to rub shoulders with somebody that no one else will. And you have the opportunity to share the glorious gospel with that person. But you got to be willing to do it. Use that opportunity. I read about a pastor that we just call Raj. It was in a nameless country. Probably ended in Stan, okay? Here's what he said. He said, who wants to go to the police station and share Christ? Originally, I went to jail for being bad and doing drugs. Now, when I go to church on Sunday to preach, I prepare two sermons, one for the people and one for the police. They come and arrest me and take me off to jail and ask me, what are you teaching the people? So, I have a sermon all prepared that I share with the police. And now I go to jail willingly to share Jesus Christ. He said it has actually worked out well. We're getting to know many police and military and government officials and are able to build bridges to them and tell them things about Jesus Christ and Christianity that they never knew before. That's what Paul was saying. My bonds are advancing the gospel. And so God can use persecution to advance the gospel, especially in those areas that are restricted, those places that you cannot openly share the gospel. Can you imagine when they read that letter that first time to the church of Philippi, talking about the bonds that he was in? Do you think they would have thought back to a time when Paul was visiting that city? What happened in Philippi? He was jailed. Do you remember that? If you would, just take your Bibles for a moment back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Do you think let me read this, starting in verse 25. Acts 16, 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You know, I don't think they had to reflect or remember in the church of Philippi. I think all they had to do was look over at the Philippian jailer and remember what God had done through Paul's bonds. And so Paul was in jail yet again, but now he was reaching those in the palace. Not only do bonds advance the gospel, I believe bonds embolden believers. Philippians, once again, in chapter 1, verse 14, Paul said, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, listen, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." I think of Daniel and his three compatriots, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I don't like using their Babylonian names. I mean, that's what people know them by. But listen, the names that they represent, I don't have them all right in front of me, but they're godly names. They talk about how God's goodness. But I wonder sometimes, as I read that story, if there was never a Daniel that had purpose in his heart to do right, would we ever hear of those three young men? All I'm saying is, I think there's people watching you. There are lost people watching you. There are weak Christians watching you. There are other Christians watching you. There are people that are watching you to see how you're going to respond. And when you have boldness, especially during the fierce winds of opposition and persecution, you will embolden those weaker Christians as you take a stand. But I'll tell you, when we falter, when we fail, I think we're letting those around us down, whether we realize it or not. And so I think about the underground church in other countries, those that have had prominent leaders in prison. What happens? The church thrives. It grows under those conditions. Now, I don't understand it, but the truth of the matter is, what Paul is saying here is that when he got arrested, there were other people that saw that and they said, "Listen, if Paul's willing to get arrested, I'm willing to take a stand. I'm willing to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ." I'm willing to tell somebody about what Jesus did in my life. Persecution has always been part and parcel of Christianity. The idea that we just want to be left alone, that we don't want to be bothered, I think that is the idea that we're not doing anything for Jesus. The Lord said, basically, the world's going to hate you. I really don't understand why. When I look at Christianity, I see a belief system that calls us to be better citizens, that tells us to love people, to reach out, to do good unto others. You would think that it would be a religion that would be really promulgated by governments. But the words of Christ are true. They've always been true and they always will be true. But understand, the world hated him and it's going to hate us as his followers. Bible says that when you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. I read an interesting statistic. It said, according to the Pew Research Center, I couldn't find the year when this was made. I think it was several years ago. It says 74% of the world's population live in a country where social hostilities involving religion are high. And 64% live where government restrictions on religion are high. And yet, in these countries, Christianity is growing. But in a country where there is freedom to share the gospel, but yet there is really a declining Christianity in America, in the UK. I think some of that has to do with the Laodicea mentality, that we have all of our needs met and there is no need for God. I'm talking about as a culture. I'm not talking about us as necessarily as individuals. But it's interesting to me that when that persecution comes, when there is that oppression, it becomes a hotbed of Christianity because people see their need for a Savior. Lastly, let me just say that even as we're told here, Bonds reminds us, it ought to remind us, to make us mindful, to remember, to pray. In the past year, well, this is actually in 2021. In 2021, 360 million Christians, or 1 in 7 believers around the world, suffered significant persecution for their faith. That doesn't mean necessarily they were killed, but there was great opposition and persecution. It said every day in 2021, an average of more than 16 believers were killed for following the Lord Jesus, with close to 6,000 martyrs. 2021 saw a 24% increase from the year before. There is persecution going on. My wife has a book at her house. I don't remember the name of it, but it talks about Martin and Gracia Burnham. In May 27, 2001, they were kidnapped. They were missionaries to the Philippines, and they were kept hostage for over a year. And the book is very, very fascinating. She would read a chapter and tell me about it. I've not read the book. But for over a year, they were kept prisoners of radical Islamic terrorists. And on June 7, 2002, more than a year after their capture, the Philippine army raided the camp of the terrorists that were holding them. And Martin was shot 3 times in the chest. Gracia was shot once in the leg. He died there in that place. And Gracia was taken out. And I say all that to say that there is persecution in the world for Christianity. You say, what about our country? Well, I think there's two things that we ought to do. Number one, we ought to steel ourselves to this idea that no matter what the government says, we're going to obey God's word. They're not going to shut the doors of the church without us putting up, I don't want to say a fight, but we're just not going to meekly say, okay, close the church down. I think secondly, we can in this country think about those that are being persecuted in the world currently. We ought to be praying for them. I've told you before, we have a little magazine that we keep out, The Voice of the Martyrs, and I think that they're accurate. There's no real way that I've been able to, but it gives you the idea at least of what is out there, right? But let me give you just very quickly a third thought right here in America. Now, we don't have those that are in bonds, but I think of somebody that's in bonds, and I think of that first century when that person could not really go out and get their own food. They were unable to go out and get their clothing. They were shut in a real sense. They were incapable or unable to be able to go out. Now, in that instance, it's because they're being restrained. But can I tell you that we have many shut-ins in our church? Those that cannot go out as they would like. Those that are unable to go out and go shopping or to be able and go get their own clothing. I'm not talking about from their closet. I'm talking about leaving their house, okay? People that would like to be in church on a Wednesday night just like this, and they're not able to. Can we be mindful of them? Not just to remember them. Now again, understand what I'm saying. Not just pray for them. That is a big thing, and we ought to be praying for those that want to be here and cannot be here. But can we call them? Can we stop by and give a visit and give of our time? Can we write a note or a letter letting them know that you're praying for them? That's what we're called to do as Christians. Now, I'm thankful they're not in bonds, but being a shut-in in some ways is being bound, not being able to go and do like you'd like to. And so there's many in our church, and I hesitate to start naming them because I know I'll leave somebody off, but good people that love the Lord that would like to be here tonight on a Wednesday night and just can't. I encourage you this week, go through the directory and think who would like to be here and isn't able to make it. Give them a call. Write them a letter. Go see them. Encourage them in the things of the Lord. And I think if you'll do that, I think you will, in a very real sense, be carrying out the principle that is given here in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 13. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Just because they're not here does not mean they're not part of the body, this local assembly. I'm thankful that I'm still able to get out. I know you are as well. But one day, if the Lord tarries, I may not be able to. And I'll tell you, in that day, I hope there's somebody from the church that I go to that would remember me and come visit and pray and encourage. Let's be that person to someone else this week.